morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Answers for Anxious Times, during which we are considering biblical stories about people in oft-times extremely anxious times who found help and hope through their faith in God. This morning, we're looking at the story of David as he went forth to confront Goliath. The story is well-grounded in the history of the ancient land of Canaan. Recently, archaeologists discovered a stone fortification on the Israelite side of the Valley of Elah, which was likely the spot where Saul talked with David before David went forth to face Goliath. But the story is not in the Bible simply because it's an interesting piece of history, but rather because it can teach us something important about life. Let's be for a moment in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of David and Goliath is well situated in the context of the land of Canaan around 1000 BC. The Israelites at the time, who lived in the hill country, were constantly being threatened by the Philistines, who lived along the coast in great fortified cities. The Philistines, who had originally come from other areas of the Aegean, were technologically more advanced than the Israelites, something we know both from the Bible and from archaeological digs. At the beginning of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we're told of how the Philistines invaded the land of Israel, and King Saul mustered a defensive force to try to stop them. The two armies arrayed themselves on opposing sides of the Valley of Elah, and out from the Philistine army came the Philistine champion, Goliath. Goliath was from the Philistine city of Gath, which is mentioned more than once in the Bible as the site of an unusually large clan of individuals. Goliath measured 4 cubits and a span, according to the most ancient copy that we have of 1 Samuel, which comes from the Dead Sea Scrolls. A cubit is roughly the distance between your elbow and the tip of your fingers, or about 1.5 feet. A span is the distance between your thumb, the end of it, the end of your little finger with your hand wide outstretched, or about 9 inches. This would make Goliath 6 feet 9 inches tall. Many English versions of the Bible depend on a Hebrew text at this point that is much later than the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they put Goliath's height at 6 cubits and a span, which would make Goliath 9 feet 9 inches tall. It is from this measurement that the popular idea has arisen that Goliath was a real giant. Although it is, of course, problematic to suppose that any human being ever actually reached that height. It is now well attested across multiple ancient documents that the height of Goliath was 4 cubits in span, 6 feet 9 inches, making him reasonably suited for any modern basketball team. But keep in mind that in 1000 BC, the average male height was a little over 5 feet. A giant is in the eye of the beholder. And to ancient people, Goliath would have appeared gigantic, not only because he was unusually tall for the period, but also because, as we can deduce from the size of his weapons, he was very muscular. The ancient Jewish historian Josephus reported Goliath's height at 4 cubits and a span, that is 6 feet 9 inches, and at the same time, he described Goliath as a man of vast bulk. On top of his imposing size, Goliath was a trained fighter with an intimidating array of weapons. He challenged the Israelites to send out someone against him for an all-deciding battle. This sort of battle by proxy, whereby two opposing armies would each choose one warrior for a decisive match, was not typically practiced in the ancient Near East, but it was a practice in Aegean cultures, from which the Philistines had come. Goliath stood and hurled his challenge. In the Israelite line, no one budged. Goliath's taunts went on for days, until young David heard him. David, a young teenager at this point, had been tending his father's sheep and only heard Goliath because he had come to deliver bread and cheese to his brothers, his older brothers, who were part of Saul's army. This is how irregular armies got their supplies at this time, by having family members bring food to the camp. David was incensed when he heard Goliath. David presented himself before King Saul and offered to be the one to go up against Goliath. At first, Saul was inclined to turn away this inexperienced boy. But finally, he was persuaded that God was with David. They prepared to dress David in armor, but that proved far too unwieldy for him. So David set forth with a sling and stopped by a wadi, one of the dry riverbeds common in the area, to choose 5 smooth stones that he put in his pouch. And then he went forth to meet Goliath. For centuries, the story of David and Goliath has served for believers as a kind of a parable for life. Goliath, who especially would have appeared to David as gigantic, is an image for the huge and oft-times frightening challenges that we all confront in our own personal lives and also in the world at large. The giants that we face may be problems in our health, or at work or school, or in our relationships, or in our household or finances. Or the giants may be problems in the world at large. Today, we face an array of gigantic issues. The coronavirus pandemic, the chronic issue of racial injustice, the problem of global warming, the division and chaos in our society. These huge problems may appear intractable. The question for people of faith becomes sharply drawn in the story of David. How do you face a giant when all you've got is a bag full of stones? How do you prevail against a huge problem when it appears that what you bring to the struggle is far outsized by the threatening issue at hand? Here, the story of David gives sound and valuable guidance. The initial key movement that we see in the story of David and Goliath is that David confronts the giant. In the story, Saul's soldiers are quite aware that there's a huge threat out there, but none of them wants to be the one to go out and face it. In our society, people have long been aware that there is a gigantic problem of racism in our society, but who has wanted to step forth to really do something about it? It's far easier to stay in one's own apparently secure space, although gigantic problems typically do not just go away. In the story, Goliath keeps up the taunts day after day, reminding the Israelites that they are in fact not secure at all. Surely God's call to us is to confront the giants in today's world. Confronting the giants has in fact been very much a part of our Methodist story. Historically, Methodists have been on the forefront of campaigns against slavery or against intemperance or against child labor. Today, as a church, we are resolved to confront the giant issues of our own time. If you go to our church website or our East Ohio Conference website or our United Methodist website, you will see what we as a church are doing in response to racism and poverty and disease and a range of other huge and pressing issues. The problems that we face are enormous, but the story of David encourages us not to be intimidated. Still, if we are resolved to step forth to seek to make a difference, the next question that immediately arises in the story of David is, how can we successfully move forward if we sense that we are ill-equipped and woefully outmatched by the issue that we are facing? David was too small for any suit of armor and could not handle the heavy weapons of the time. He ended up going forth with a sling and a bag of stones. Against him stood Goliath, a trained warrior of immense size with a helmet, heavy armor, a javelin, a huge spear, and also a sword and a shield. David knew that he was completely outmatched. But the heart of the story is that David looks beyond his own strength and his own ability. When Goliath taunts him, David shouts to him, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." David confronts the giant finally by trusting in the power of God. From any human perspective, this may have appeared hopelessly idealistic. The realistic odds for victory on the part of David in this scenario were extremely slim. It should be noted that it was not unheard of in ancient times to go forth into a battle with a sling. Archaeologists have found ancient murals and reliefs depicting slingers in battle. Ancient slings were not what we think of as a slingshot, where you use a rubber band to fire an object. They were hurling devices, which, when properly used, could propel a well-chosen stone with considerable force and accuracy. But Goliath was wearing armor. A stone would just bounce off. He obviously considered David's sling to be of little threat. He did, however, have one small weak spot. Philistine helmets at the time had left a small area of the forehead exposed just above the eyes. But hitting Goliath there would require an incredibly accurate throw. But as David confronts Goliath, he depends not on his own skill or cleverness, but on God. As he says to Goliath, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." You know the outcome of the story. David hurls a stone, which strikes Goliath precisely in the forehead, and the giant falls. The story of David and Goliath has had such an enduring impact, it has inspired a number of contemporary movies. The movie Facing the Giants, for example, features a flawed football team from a small school that has led to improbable victories when the young faith-filled coach encourages the athletes to play each game for the glory of God. The team ends up in the championship game, facing an enormous opposing line. It all finally comes down to a scrawny kid on the small school team named David. The biggest movie in recent years to be based on the David and Goliath story would certainly be the first of the Star Wars movies. Star Wars Episode IV, as it was titled, is thoroughly grounded in the David and Goliath motif and, in fact, incorporates numerous details from the biblical story. When David goes forth against Goliath, Saul says to him, "Go and may the Lord be with you." Star Wars has Obi-Wan Kenobi saying exactly the same encouragement to Luke Skywalker, but of course in Star Wars it comes out, "May the Force be with you." David answers questions about his prospects on the battlefield by referring to the fact that as a shepherd, he prevailed in the fields against lions and bears who were threatening the sheep. In Star Wars, Luke replies to questions about how accurate a shot he could possibly make by noting that back on the farm, he used to shoot womp rats at a distance. Finally, of course, young David goes up against Goliath, who appears invincible, although he does have that one small weak spot, but hitting it with a projectile appears most unlikely. At the climax of the initial Star Wars episode, young Luke Skywalker, piloting a small fighter, approaches the giant Death Star, which is so enormous and heavily defended, it appears invincible. It does have, however, a small weak spot, a tiny vent for a shaft leading to the main reactor. A direct hit would bring victory, but such a shot would appear most improbable. As Luke comes in for his final approach, what does he do? He trusts in the Force. The movie follows the David storyline precisely. Victory comes in the end by virtue of a higher power. The biblical account of David and Goliath has continued to resonate through the centuries. This past week in Crisis Councils, a daily scripture meditation that we've been emailing out every day for the past several months, and which is also posted on our website, I focused on Psalm 33, which contains these verses. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who revere him, on those who hope in his steadfast love to deliver their soul from death. Our soul waits for the Lord. God is our help and shield. In poetry, the psalmist expresses the central message of the story of David and Goliath. It is not our own devices, but rather in God that we will find our true strength. This has been a very important message for our nation during our history. In times of national crisis, Americans have often recognized that we need, above all, the help of God. After the outbreak of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation calling the nation to prayer. On D-Day, Franklin Delano Roosevelt did a special radio address in which he led the nation in prayer to God. Against the giants of those times, our leaders realized that the most crucial thing we needed was the strength and guidance of God. In this context, it's remarkable to look back at the past century and consider the giant threats and problems that once appeared invincible. Fascism and communism on a world scale, or segregation and Jim Crow in our society. Yet the giants fell. Today, there are further gigantic issues, but the lesson of Scripture is that we can confront it all with confidence when we do so with faith in God. Trusting in God, however, does not, of course, mean that we now sit back and expect God to sweep all the problems away. In the account in 1 Samuel, David realizes that he is to be God's instrument, and so he uses the gifts that he has in order to go forth to face the giant. The sling and the stones might have appeared to be meager instruments. We may feel at times that our gifts are meager, but with God's empowerment, we are enabled to meet the challenges of our own time. The story of David was repeated in a significant way in the story of the first disciples. When Jesus sent his followers forth to take the gospel into the world, they were like Davids facing a host of Goliaths. The corruption of temple leaders, the brutality of Rome, the unbelief and skepticism of people in general created enormous and apparently invincible resistance to the spread of the gospel. The followers of Jesus appeared ridiculously small and ill-equipped for the task. Yet, they trusted in the Lord, they used the gifts that the Spirit of God gave them, and the giants fell. The gospel spread throughout the world. At the same time, it's important to note that the followers of Jesus gained the victory not in a single decisive moment, as in the story of David, but rather in many small moments, in a gradual process. And this, I believe, is most often the case in the Christian life. We gain the victory over challenges by steadily confronting the giants, trusting in God, and using our gifts. It's notable that even in the story of David, David took not just one stone into battle, but five, assuming that multiple attempts might be necessary. To confront the giants in life, we need to be ready to persevere in our efforts. Through it all, there is one overarching truth. It is God who can bring the victory over even the greatest challenges and threats. So we are encouraged to look to God, who is truly our help and our shield. Let us be in prayer. Our strength in you, and be empowered to meet the troubles of our time. We thank you that you draw us together as a church so that we can act as a community of faith. We reach out in prayer to those in times of illness. We would pray especially this morning for Phil Cousset, for Diana Douglas, and for Karen Droder, praying that your healing power would be with each of them. We also join with those who are celebrating special moments. We rejoice with Nolan and Esther Cross upon their 50th wedding anniversary and Phil and Darlene Cousset upon their 60th, asking your blessing upon them, O Lord, and upon all of us, that we may indeed rejoice in those special times and milestones that you give us in life. Lead us, Lord, as we look to you, both in times of challenge and in times of joy. Lord, we lift up also this morning our fellow United Methodists at the Macedonia United Methodist Church, praying you would empower us all as we join in mission together. And we lift up, O Lord, our whole nation, praying for your guidance and blessing to be upon us in the midst of these most challenging times. We thank you, O Lord, for the freedom that we enjoy and for all those before us who have stepped forth to meet the great giants that have threatened our land in years past. Equip us today, O God, with the strength and wisdom of your Spirit that we may share in your purposes and in your delivering power. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.